passing out so quickly this evening, my beads stayed at home. They're meditating. Don't worry. Mark, did you have something?
I did.
Before we start, may I just say that we're now publishing all Thursday night groups Sangha-wide.
Okay. I couldn't tell what that last thing you said was.
All
Thursday night groups are being published.
Sangha-wide.
Sangha-wide, and I knew that that wasn't it. All right. Good. All right. So no cussing, no gossiping. I know. It takes all the fun out of it.
No more cussing.
No what?
No more cussing. No more cussing.
No more gossiping. That's right. Yeah. All right. Mark.
A couple of days ago, conditioning ran a number by me. Once again, saying that, you know, these little stories are not really, you know, causing you a great deal of suffering. It's not really a big deal. You know, you get to have your life. You know, everything's working, you know, and it's joyful, and you seem to be really happy, and yada, 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 yada. And then the mentor came in and said, oh, but that's not true. It keeps me away from life when I'm with the story. Mm-hmm. And I think that just like in the last 2 days, I'm beginning to experience that as opposed to understanding it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so what happened, especially at this evening's sitting, oftentimes during meditation, I'll have a blockage up here in my upper right top of my head. And in here, and in my neck, and down in my gut area, in the stomach area. And what I discovered today was that yes, indeed, when I'm with the story, that blockage seems to intensify everywhere. If I'm looking at it, and then when I get back to the breath. And I stay with the breath, all of that sort of relaxes. And now I'm back, you know, now I'm not, you know, all tensed up to life.
So the blockage is tension, is tightness?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know what to call that. What does it feel like? Well, if when I say blockage, it feels like nothing can move up there. Now, if I, on the exhale to that space, a lot of times that will kind of blow it away, mm-hmm. and open it up again. But I can't do that when I'm listening to the story. Mm-hmm. It never occurs to me to do that when I'm listening to the story.
I'm busy. Nice. Occupied.
But I can, when I'm back present again, do that conscious breathing up and through, up and out, seems to help that.
And helping it in that...
Opening it up.
And what's the difference between it being open and blocked?
Well, I just feel it's a sensation. And I don't know how...
So it's not like you feel any clearer or... It's not that.
Just sensational.
Uh-huh.
That's all it is. It's just it's something in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not attached to anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think.
Just feels like it's closed or.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you feel that, now you know that it's because you're caught in one of these innocuous little, really not having any effect on your life stories.
Right. Exactly. I think that's the key,
mm-hmm.
that I've been wanting to get to,
mm-hmm.
on this retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And, and to me, that's really big. I'm starting to play with that when I'm out in working meditation and eating. And it's a little bit more difficult because there's so much other stuff going on. It's not as, it's more apparent when it's in meditation. But even when I'm eating, if I'm in a story, I don't taste the food that much. I get out of the story, get back to present, and the food comes, you know, the taste comes back.
And you just watch the here, gone. Here, gone.
And you have to, for me, I have to have that experience before it finally goes, yes. That's right. That is right. That is true. That is, so,
yes, and that you have your own experience, that the story you're being told is not your experience. And of course, for those of us listening to the story, that big red flag of you, you this and you're that and you do this and it doesn't really affect you because you're, and you, it's, thank you, narrator of my life, expert on me.
Everybody else's too.
It's not just here.
It can
report on everybody with the same confidence and accuracy and it's funny to see it, isn't it?
You're blurry tonight.
I see the specs are on the floor.
Well, yeah, blurry specs anyway. I have a follow-up on Tuesday night's group. We were looking at the eat when hungry and rest when tired. And
I think it's technically sleep, but I guess if you're going around in the day, it might be trickier to...
So the eating part I'm really enjoying. No problem with that one. What I saw was a big bamboozle that The story I was believing is that I'm not strong enough, and I was looking at how you know, exercising and pushing came with that story. So it looks like a really good example of the whole story of why and what and what I'm doing and is the content, but under there was that process of not good enough.
The meaning goes with whatever evidence is being gathered.
I've been, for the last couple of days, I started practicing with appreciation and enjoyment of moving in the body and doing whatever in the body. And it's not that I'm doing a whole lot different. I thought I was pushing too much. It seemed like that was the story I was pushing. But now, it's not that different what I'm doing. It's not what, but how.
Yeah, you're not doing what you're doing with the background story of you're not.
I've just changed, had more awareness. I thought I had awareness anyway, but...
We do, don't we? We think we have awareness until we have awareness about something we weren't aware of. And then it's one of those, where has that been all this time? Or, where was I all this time? And probably doing something, focused on something, and not necessarily gone. Right, so we can be attentive to a process. It's just not that one. So it does feel like it kind of comes in layers, right? So we see something, and then that seems to open up the next whatever it is to see, and then we see through that, and then there's the next whatever it is that's there to see. But we don't seem to be able to jump ahead.
Like, just finish.
Yeah.
Right.
Or just forget all those in the middle, just bottom line. Which is, of course, a blessing.
Trying to listen?
Were you doing an email class or something?
I had an assignment to try to listen.
Yeah.
It's a good
just
one.
Listen, isn't it? Yeah, I'm really, I'm enjoying what people are, the experiences that people are having. But I'll tell you what I really enjoy. This is going to go out to Sangha, right? So most of them are probably in the class. So at the beginning of this class, I think it was at the beginning of this class, I asked people, don't say EKC. Mm-hmm. Don't write it, don't say it, don't ever, just we're striking that from our practice, right? And as far as I know, not a single person has written in anything other than egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate is basically one long word. I was just stunned. I mean, that takes a lot of not only reading the request and saying, okay, and then remembering to do it. That's big, isn't it? Because, I mean, we can have every good intention, and then as we hit send, go, oh, no, I forgot to look at that, which somehow relates to what you were saying for me.
Thank you.
Well, yeah.
and the end of mine was bringing, it feels like it's more kindness has come in.
Yes.
Another layer of kindness makes a difference.
Which is always the answer, isn't it? It just always is. And related to what you're saying, it makes us stronger. Right? Because that's what you said. When you move from that, should do more, not enough, whatever it is, and kindness and appreciation is there, feels like you're doing what you were doing before, it just feels so much better.
Yeah.
So I was making my commitment poster for the 30-day guided retreat. And while I was making it with colored pencils, and just colored pencils mostly, I heard this voice come in, and I think within one lowercase r, there were three things I did wrong.
Wow. Just,
it was like a machine gun. And I could hear it. I mean, I could see exactly, been here for a few weeks now, it's starting to rub off. So I could see exactly what was happening. And so this is a question. So I actually started, I was in my hermitage at the time, and I started talking out loud. I started talking trash to this thing, like really, like really offensive, like trash talk. Like
the kind of thing you're not going to say in here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So not
song alive. He would be cussing if it weren't for the, you know, that you're all listening.
No, so song alive, I wouldn't do that.
No.
So, So I did that out loud, and I got a lot of satisfaction out of that, and I made the commitment poster over all these criticisms. And it was kind of a mixed bet. Like, I guess my question is, like, I mean, I think I got some sadistic pleasure out of doing that, and I did make the commitment poster, and I was able to identify this voice, so I think it feels like a win in a lot of ways, but the way I was talking... I might
not have been coming from what we call center.
I don't know. I mean, you know, if this voice is trying to suck my life away, then all's fair in love and war, right? I don't feel bad. I feel ambivalent about it. So I'm asking you.
Okay. So here's what I would encourage you to look at. What we tend to do is get conned into focusing on one side of a duality. The egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is always dualistic, and it always comes, therefore, in pairs. And so very often, what happens to us is that we identify, so there it is, and there's Kai doing his poster, and the voice comes in and with all of the criticisms about that offensive R. And then ego just slides right over here and becomes offended or defensive or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And now, here he is, and they're just having a battle. I mean, I keep referring to it as a ping pong match, right? And the human being is the ping pong ball, right? So ego smacks it across this way and then smacks it back the other way. And usually we are identified with one side of it or the other. But it's probably both, which is why that what came back at the voice was a lot like the voice. They had much more in common than they were different.
So that makes sense to me, and they were a lot alike in that regard. So I'll get specific, it might be easier for you to respond. So I was, stick with the lowercase r. The tail of the lowercase r, the part that's at the far left, that was too tall, right? So it says, so the voice says something like, you know, you should just throw this whole poster away. That's the worst r I've ever seen, I think. And, you know, it's like you to make an r like that. So then, I'm not going to say what I said to that voice. Yeah, what would you... What can you recommend a response to that?
Yes. In that moment? Yes, I can. And my encouragement is always facilitation. And so it would go something like this. So, what I hear you saying is that part of the R is too long. Did I get that right? Now, how, help me out here. How long should I really make that part of the R? And the reason that that's so effective, first of all, you know, it hones your facilitation skills. But aside from that, what you're doing that is the most effective thing you can do is you're making fun of it. Mm-hmm. And that's what it just can't stand. Mm-hmm. You know, yell at it, scream at it, cuss at it, fight with it. It can handle that. But it's a bully. Mm-hmm. And so that means that you're engaged. Mm-hmm. But to laugh at it, yeah.
I don't know where to go with this, but I've had a really great couple of days. And what's been really fun is, the story is, there are more things going on than normally, especially for not a retreat time. But there's a story that it's busy. And that's somehow a problem.
Right. Because we all prefer bored.
And, yes. And so what's been so fun is just to... I guess what I keep experiencing, so I had a reflection back to me the other day. I was talking about a job, a role, a coordinator role that I do, and, you know, kind of like, well, I'm doing okay in these parts, but I haven't really paid attention to these parts. And I think the reflection, at least my interpretation, was, well, maybe that's where life has you focusing for now. Instead of...
You mean I'm not doing anything wrong?
Yeah. Instead of some sort of comparison that I should be doing something other than what I'm doing. Uh-huh. And so it's just been fun to play with that life's living me and directing the attention to where it needs to go. And then when I'm in that space, you can just see how much drama it's making about everything. Uh-huh. Like... yeah, I just had a cover span of a couple of things. Like, I felt like I wasn't really clear in this orientation I was giving, and was doing a new task and needed to ask questions, and the person left, and then because I was trying to, and then I watched myself, like, I just need to sit down, like, put my hands in my head, and then I was like, what am I doing? You know, like, just need to sit down, and I, you know, there was like
this emotion. And agonized for a minute, because this is...
And then it was like, that's not me. I actually don't need to do that. What I need to do is go around the back porch and see if any of the buckets need to be emptied, because that's what we do after lunch cleanup. Uh-huh. And it was just like, wow. And so then I just been, kind of what you, I think, was being talked about, that when that drama starts, oh yeah, but then, and you gotta hurry, and it, I just can smile at it.
Yes, yes, because it's, we're in a monastery.
Mm-hmm.
This is a monastery. All we're doing is awareness practice here.
Yes.
I think we could calm down about this.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. This is not nervous breakdown material.
It's really not. It's really not. It's not.
But isn't it fabulous, though, to get to see it do in these circumstances what it does out there?
Yes.
Out there, it's so believable.
Yeah.
And here, if we're not careful, we'll still believe it.
Yeah, amazingly. But it's, you can. I've done it. And I, you know, as we were just talking, it's just so much gratitude for the privileged environment. Mm-hmm. You know, just paying more and more attention to some of the things I've been doing lately about how important, about, you know, God showing, you know, if we're in an orientation, God showing if I'm going to, you know, handing notes, that kind of thing is like, it's so important.
Yes.
Because we're all having an opportunity to see our process.
Yes.
And again, you know, I think I've been grateful for the privilege of a lot, but it's just so much fun to see it again. Mm-hmm. As you said, it's what goes on all out there, but there's no way to see what's happening. You know, you know, the system's all jacked up, and it feels really real, and you know, I'm a good person for working really hard and being stressed out and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see the craziness of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's been really fun, as I say that, is... you get to see it kind of for what it is, and it's that thing that you say a lot about losing interest in the conversation, because when there's that little bit of a distance, and I can feel that, like, I went from one call to go checking propane tanks, and then to another call, and I felt like I was floating around the monastery, and that kind of energy, you don't, what, you want to be here. Do you know, like, that? Yeah, you were here. Do you know, of course. But there's just that place of, just stay here, keep coming. No, let's go do the water buckets. You know, just, and then it reinforces itself in the sense of, I don't want to leave in a stressful conversation or something should be different. I want to be here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just have this funny image of doing the privileged environment with ourselves.
Uh-huh.
You know, so the voice says, "Well, you need to live. Could you write me a note?"
Well, that's another good one.
Yeah. Okay. Or you just make that show and walk off.
Yes. Oh, that's good. Boy, we need to get some cartoons going again.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yes, and
that, and to have the opportunity in one's life to be able to have these experiences is just now the thing again in the email class that I've really enjoyed. I think it's just pretty much in this class. I get really confused about which class we're on, but where people are just being asked to listen. Mm-hmm. Have you folks read that one yet?
Not the responses, but yeah, the responses.
You haven't read the responses yet? No, it's a lot like this, you know, what you're saying, because it, for a lot of people, it would seem that it might be the first time they had permission to, in the craziness of the day and in the craziness of conditioning, to actually listen to another human being. Mm-hmm. Instead of just being trapped in conditioned mind and the, you know, what about me and what am I going to say next and I've got to figure this out and that, and that, it's just, you know, I project, it's kind of like, I just want to cry with the relief of being able just to be present and just listen, just be here and listen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That same sort of the relief of just being here.
Yeah. Yes. The other image I had today was thinking what you practice is what you have. There's a boat tacking. I'm talking about course corrections.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this image today of having little course corrections in one room from you today and how kind that was. And also this image of being the boat and the sail and the water and the salesperson. Mm-hmm. And I think I hear Srini say that a lot, and a lot of times just hits and goes like, doink, you know, doesn't land. But I felt that. Mm-hmm. And that's, boy, that is one of those things you say about just, you want to get down and kiss the earth and say mm-hmm. thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it feels like recorded listening is just some new things have sort of come up in it that I haven't seen, and it's like a deepening with the practice and just having a lot more fun with it. It got kind of rote, got kind of predictable. I think it kind of got in the hands of conditioning. And it was very, it felt kind of static. And then when I got to the monastery, we were asked to do the Making Change for Good 30-day retreat. And I've done it a few times. And what I do is, there's 90 pages to the first part, and then there's the 30-day retreat. So for every day, I read 3 pages, record 3 pages, and then the assignment. And that's my focus for the day. I go around listening to that part, and then the assignment. And just on repeat throughout the day. And when I was reading it this time, for the first time, this little sub-personality came up that has been the very first sub that I'd ever discovered in this practice, and the one that took the brunt of the trauma and the brutal conditioning of the home life. And I got to that part where it said, you know, we don't dismiss what happens to children. Things happen, bad things happen to children. We acknowledge that, but we have an ability to bring that young person into presence where what happened in the past will no longer matter. Mm-hmm. And when I was recording that this morning, that little one, and he's got his own voice, and he'll often, in the last week, he's come up, and what he likes to do is he likes to describe the little illustrations. And he'll go, well, and he has his own voice, his own kid, and I'm listening to him, and he'll kind of interrupt me as I'm reading, say, oh, look at the little girl, and she's in the desk, I just had this huge awareness that intense suffering that he'd always kind of brought along to the game, he no longer suffers anymore. I'm projecting with the mentoring, all the mentoring he's received, he's safe enough to come out mm-hmm. and to participate and to mm-hmm. be there when I feel I'm a mentoring presence when I'm reading that or just talking about the day or doing it at the end of the night, adventures and awareness or whatever the prompt is. And it just struck me as, it's like I can't wait to get back on those recordings and hear him mm-hmm. and hear his joy and his innocence and all this fear and intrepidation he held for so long is not there. Mm-hmm. It's been released, I guess, or let go, or
well,
I don't know how to describe it, but
yeah, he there's nobody wanting to live there anymore.
Yeah,
and this is a much happier place to be than there. So I don't know this, of course, but I would project much more of the changes happened with you than with him.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah, I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. I see. Can you say a little more about that?
Yeah, that that as long as we are caught in any kind of story about the past, say, then whatever participated in that is stuck there too. But as we move past that, as we let go of that as an identity, then nothing is being held in place any longer. And the thing that just dropped in when you were saying that is that innocence and joy is not him and it's not his. It's really yours. Mm-hmm. And so to bring all of that into the present instead of leaving any of it in an identity. Because no matter how subtle it is, any time we are in an identity, there's a slight separation. Mm-hmm. There's a somebody being a way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that all hangs together for folks, but I used to have this, I haven't thought about this in a really long time, but you wake up tomorrow morning and as far as you know, you're a brain surgeon in New York. And there's that just a little slight sense that it might not be the case. And yet, that's what it seems like. That's what it feels like. Right. And so we have, we in essence have that orientation all the time. It's just, it's really familiar. There are stories that we agree to. And so they don't strike us as, wait a minute, why am I carrying that around? Which is, to me, is different from just a way of being that might be the equivalent of like to skip a rock across the water, or you see a tree branch and jump up and hang from it, or that would just happen. But if every time you saw a tree branch, you needed to jump up and hang from it, then we would say, this might have slipped into an identity rather than just an expression of an energy in the moment.
What, a song that was just spontaneity, perhaps, as opposed to something that's...
Yes. A habit.
A habit, or
it's a way I am.
Yes.
And how much we can need to reinforce that for ourselves, because there's something familiar and comforting about me being the way I am. That goes often with a story of why I'm that way and how I got to be that way, and and that's what would make it so alarming if you woke up tomorrow morning and you were a brain surgeon in New York, see, because then you wouldn't be you any longer. And yet, why should we wake up tomorrow morning being any particular thing? And doesn't it just unnerve people, the thought of waking up tomorrow and being somebody completely different? And, you know, that's a 911.
Yeah.
Are people going along with this at all?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A lot of that resonates with me.
Yeah. It's such an unconscious story. You know, we can catch on to stories that we're into that are not, you know, what Mark was talking about, why am I thinking about that? Or, I'm thinking about that, I'm in that world instead of being here. And so, to me, what we're talking about is the level of stories that never reach conscious awareness, or that reach conscious awareness in that layered way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're there, and they're going on all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what I saw and what you're saying was, so when that identity comes up, that little sub-personality, there's nothing really to do with that, just to...
Exactly.
There's nothing to do with it or make any meaning of it. Because
that's right.
I think I saw that it made some meaning of it.
Yes, and it doesn't need to be a sub-personality.
Oh, right. There's. Yeah.
It can just be how you are in that moment.
How? Oh, see, there, that.
Because otherwise...
Yeah, I saw that separation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a lot clearer there, just how I am in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so just like expressing itself happened to be in that moment.
Yes.
A different way than I am in that previous moment.
Yes.
Maybe it's a little more exuberant. Maybe it's a little... Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Who knows?
More energetic.
Yeah. And with all of that then available for you to enjoy.
Yeah.
Instead of it belonging to somebody
right.
who comes with a story.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's that ownership it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Which then pulls it back to the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really important subtle point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because even if every time I see him, I think, wow, he's just not stuck in that trauma and suffering any longer. It's like, then why are we talking to him about it? You know, just lest you forget. Now you used to have a lot of trauma and suffering. Remember that? Now you don't.
Oh, that is funny.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jenny.
I'm choosing between a couple things to talk about.
All right.
So I'll talk about when the conversation was about I was doing this thing, I got interrupted and it doesn't have to be a problem, you know. It just sparked something for me, which is I've had this great experience of late and where I do working meditation here, and there's been lots of people.
Yes.
And it's been a fabulous opportunity to be really present to what might be done and have absolutely no attachment to what gets done.
Yes.
Because I have this image of, well, this will get done, and this will get done, and this will get done. Right, eventually it will. But in the course of things, you know, just a little bit of this gets done, a little bit of this gets done. Oh, by the way, we have to do this. Oh, by the way, these have to be planted. And, you know,
yes.
And it's so much fun.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, I look around and I simply discover what's happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
because otherwise, that's where disappointment lives, isn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but to simply discover what happens just means, well, the next time we come, this is where we'll start.
Yes.
And it's just been this wonderful, in a couple ways, practice in non-attachment. That's one. Having no idea what the result would be. And sometimes, actually, when I get there, realizing there's something else that I never even thought of that has to be done. Mm-hmm. So no attachment there. What was the other dimension that I was about to see in what we just said? I can't remember. But anyway, maybe it'll show up again.
It will be back.
It'll be back. And the other thing is that I think in bringing that to it and kind of looking around when I arrive, especially when I arrive and when I leave, what's happening, when I'm also... being able to appreciate is all the stuff that's happening.
That garden is a different place.
It's a different place.
It's
and, you know, things
astounding.
That we planted 2 weeks ago are popping up, and things that we planted a few days ago are hanging in there. And you know, and it would be so easy if I just got caught in the agenda to miss all the activity that's going on in that place.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just has made it so fun and exciting. And I wish I could
hear
that.
Well, I'll just say something while it comes back to you, because that is such a, again, such an important, subtle place, I think, for us all to look, that I don't know if anybody else has it besides the two of us, but you look out and have an idea about how things are going to go. Anybody? Anybody have that? Yeah. And and so it seems like it's helpful because you don't want to sort of just wander around having no idea what's going to happen. And yet, what it holds in place is massive amounts of suffering and massive amounts of not being here.
Mm-hmm.
So...
the illusion of control.
The illusion of control, mm-hmm. Yeah. So if I have an idea about what's going to happen... I'm bound to be disappointed. Because
mm-hmm.
It's, as you say, it's not going to go that way. Even if we get a ton done,
mm-hmm.
It's not the way I thought it was going to be. And unless we're really present to say, well, it doesn't matter what I thought, because, look, we did this and this and this and this, and that's actually maybe better than what I... We tend to be distracted away from that kind of clarity. So it's just, oh, shoot. You know, it's wonderful, but we're left with the final analysis. Oh, shoot, I thought we were going to get that done.
Oh, yeah. And the wonderful thing is there's been none of that. Because actually, a whole lot's getting done. And I'm certainly having fun. And things are just happening. Mm-hmm. But I think because, you know, there have been many times when I've been alone in the garden or with one of the other people, and now there's quite a few people. And the gift of that is I can't get attached to anything. Because yes. My attention has to be moving around all the time.
Uh-huh.
Because this person, you know, this is finished and that hasn't started. And it's a wonderful gift because, I can't get obsessed about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But also, because it moves around, it's a movable feast. And so there's no way to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to know what's going to take a lot of time and when it would be good to move our attention over here and when it would be good to move it back there. It's mm-hmm. just that, and I think maybe that's the other non-attachment part, is that even getting attached to a particular task, because maybe it's too hot and so somebody doing this for an hour is not okay. And so there's got to be that kind of responding in the moment.
We just have to be present.
We just have to be present. And it's really fun.
It is really fun, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's the most fun there is. Yeah. Ego seems never to be in agreement about that. But it is the most fun there is.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as I say, and then there's the gift of that place is alive and it's doing what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I project, for me anyway, I can feel it. I can just feel it. So I'm also surrounded by that.
Mm-hmm.
This is so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and tanks are going to be on the way.
I mean,
yes, 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 they are. I don't know how many of you know this, but our poor Josh is just desperately ill.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all kind of, you know, hanging on that. But I did, I don't know what I was doing, but something. And I had this inspiration about how we can put those tanks in a way that I hope is a lot easier. He's going to do the math to make sure that it works. But you remember the platforms that we made out of the recycled plastic, basically those boards that are recycled plastic. And they're all over the property at this point. We've taken them apart and done all kinds of things with them. I figure if we make those big enough, then we'll be able to just pour footings and they'll essentially be like the foundation of a house.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can just put the tanks on them and they can hold that massive amount of water. And Josh's concern out here was that it would just take the side of the building off as it, you know, as it began to slide down the hill. So I said, well, let's maybe not. Yeah, let's come up with an alternative to that. So, but Ashwini told me, I think today, that the tanks are ordered, paid for. Some of them are in already. So we're really just waiting for Josh to feel well enough to mm-hmm. hop on that. And then I'm going to try to steal some of your garden crew, you too,
mm-hmm.
and we can start putting those, if that is indeed the best way to go about it, we'll start building those platforms. And,
nice. And that's all part of the garden too?
It's all part of the garden too, yeah. Yeah, and the guys are lined up to come and put the gutters on us, yeah. So it's, yeah, we're rolling. Because I saw, I don't know if it's going to happen, but there is rain in the forecast.
Wednesday.
It's out a few days, but...
Wednesday?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, so... Is it tomorrow? Oh, what are you, people tired or something? What's the matter with you? Oh, that's not it. That's right. Did you put your hands up?
No.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, never mind then.
Well, I can talk. Omar.
Did you have your hands up?
Oh, I
do. Do you all have your hands up and I can't see you? Is that what's going on? Is it me?
Well, or? I had another agenda, so to speak. One of the things since that Wednesday when everybody hopped into Murphy's that one night.
Oh yeah.
To the meditation
room,
mm-hmm. and talk.
Mm-hmm.
That really, I love that evening when you were talking to people who were brand new, mm-hmm. and it just came to me that hearing brand new information X number of years after, you know, starting this practice comes in an entirely different way.
Yes.
And you were talking about the difference between focus and attention, or awareness, focus and awareness,
mm-hmm.
and or attention and awareness.
We know what you meant.
And it got me to looking at how I might put attention on awareness.
Very good.
Okay, which was your definition of bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I have had, I think, blissful moments, periods, moments, long moments, short moments, you know. That's how I would label it. Now I can't go back to those moments and say, you know, was I attending to awareness?
Right.
And so now I'm looking at how that might happen. And what happens is, I think I can, again, it's one of those things that can be done in meditation and have a pretty good sense of that process.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get out and start in movement, mm-hmm. and things like that, I want to be able to direct attention to awareness. But if I'm on a task and I'm focusing on doing something, it seems like my attention is there and not really on everything. Is that making sense?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I try to focus that on the awareness aspect of it, it seems like what happens is I stumble and trip by, you know, little mistakes and, you know, awkward moments and things like that happen because what I was focusing on before doesn't have the focus that it once had. It's like it's kind of like losing something. And I don't do this when I'm in the kitchen with a knife in my hand doing that.
When you have a knife in your hand and you're doing that, it feels like attention needs to just be on hand, knife, whatever.
Right, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because if I start moving around, then what happens here might be unfortunate, you know.
Okay, so this is what I encourage you to play with. And I think we did it that night, but I can't really remember in town. But as you're sitting here right now, so everybody can, you know, do the 45 degrees out in front of you, and you're aware of what's happening with your sight, I would imagine, and see if you can also sense what is in your field of vision, but in peripheral vision. Okay, so there's what you're looking at there, and then sensing what is around you. And part of that can be sensing what you're hearing. And notice that when you are seeing, you can also be hearing. When you have a sense of that, also be aware of your body. Be aware of the position that your body is holding. You're aware of all that you're seeing. You're aware of what you're hearing. You're aware of the shape and the position of your body. Okay, can you?
Well, I can do all of that because I'm sitting still and I'm doing the awareness.
Yes.
When I'm in motion and I'm...
The rules don't change. It's just a matter of getting used to it.
Well, cleanup in the kitchen can get very chaotic. You know, there's ten of us.
It can get very fast.
Well, fast, and there's stuff going on all the time. And if we weren't paying attention, we'd be bumping into people and stuff.
That's right.
And, you know, all that sort of thing. So
you know that experience.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
So the same thing applies with the knife. Attention can be on the knife in your hand, but that expanded awareness can include everything that's going on in the kitchen.
Because somebody next to you needs to get a cutting board from underneath.
Yes, it's just simply that you are aware of the sounds and aware of what's happening in your peripheral vision and aware of the position that your body is in. What I suspect will make all the difference is when attention is an unconditioned mind.
Right.
That's the killer.
Yeah.
Because that is, so with all of these things, we can fairly easily have the expanded awareness and sense where attention is in that awareness.
Okay.
And sense the difference when attention is actually moving quickly from thing to thing,
mm-hmm.
right? But when we go off into conditioned mind, that is actually when you're liable to cut off your thumb.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, that I understand.
Yeah.
I get that.
So okay. It's just
how I was looking at it. Basically.
Yeah, well, and it's just practicing it. It's just practicing with more, you know, it's kind of, do you remember learning how to waltz?
This is
from the old days. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1. And that's all that's happening, right? Right? And then, as you relax into the music, as you learn the feel of it, then it can all come together and you don't have to. And then if you start going 1, 2, 3, you'll trip yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like a muscle memory sort of thing.
Well, it's just getting familiar with how those processes work.
So, I'd like to talk more about the email class communication and listening, and I mean, just getting it that the thing that's standing between communicating and not communicating is this voice, it's kind of sobering just to see how much it has influenced my relationships forever. You know, really listening to that.
Your relationships with other people.
Yeah.
And you.
And me. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Because I see it in the listening and recording and listening. I see how it just jockeys to not listen to her. You know, just to how it just wants to run interference to not hear,
mm-hmm.
to not really hear what's on that recorder, to not really listen to her. And so it seems like not a surprise that that's like not happening with other folks either. And when I do listen, when I do assignment, I practiced, you know, just, it was so wonderful, you know, just so heart-opening. And it's everything that, you know, I'd ever wanted, and just that kind of connection, and just feeling so much love. And wow, it's still, I'm still encountering a challenge with transferring into the, into just listening to her on the recorder and really hearing her. And
how do you practice with that? How do you practice with the incessant conversation or the yammy, yammy, yammy?
Yeah.
And then how do you practice with listening specifically in the on the recordings?
Well, I have for a while just started practicing with reflecting. And then that'll fall away. You know, and then, and so right now, I'm just coming back to that again, and just like, there's something about, okay, so there's reflecting, and what is it that's going on? Something about, accepting, just being able to accept.
So do you ever practice with not allowing that conversation that to be there?
More so lately, yeah. You know, it has gone on unexamined, you know, just unexamined.
And so can you, when you're sitting, say, because it's way easier than when you're walking around, can you do the old thinking, not thinking?
You mean coming back to the breath? Just...
Well, and the space between the thoughts, where there's that expanse and stretches.
Okay, yeah, I haven't been focusing on that space.
It might be helpful.
Okay.
And then my encouragement with the recordings is to, you have a recording, so she's obviously saying something that's meaningful to her, right? Is that the case?
Yeah.
And then, and so to you listen to a sentence, you turn off the recorder, you reflect back what she said. You have two recorders, of course, that can be really good, right? And then you turn it on again, and you listen to what she said, and you reflect it back, just as you would somebody else, so that there you minimize the amount of opportunity for that just yada 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 to come in and distract or deflect.
Yeah. Okay. I see what's going on more clearly with that, just that constant.
Well, yeah, it's just it's a me. So that's gonna be there. So you are practicing turning attention away from it, finding the space inside, so that that is not occupying all of your attention. You practice turning your attention to something else and focusing on that. And the hardest one of all is not checking back in with me to see if me is still there, because me will still be there. That much we know.
I don't know if this is related, but it feels like it is in some way. Like last night in the meditation, I just really had an experience of of the body, the stillness of the body, and that it just felt like, wow, this is a place to go to where I can experience that stillness and what's real. And I've never quite experienced it like that before, and I can see that that might be also an anchor in this practice.
Get up. Oh, sorry about that. Get out of here and drop attention down.
That's exactly, that was exactly the experience, and just realizing, wow, I just access something in it. It's always still, no matter what this is doing. There's something here that's just still.
Yes, so there are three separate practices, depending on what's going on, right? So the space between the thoughts, you can be doing anywhere. You can be doing that in the kitchen.
Good practice.
This is... Yes. you could be doing that. Yeah. You could actually, if you want to focus on the knife, then you're focusing completely on the knife, and you're aware of the space here. It doesn't require anything going on here to use the knife.
Yeah.
You don't need to be thinking about it or talking about it or thinking about something else or thinking about what you're going to do next. Right. You can be completely here. That's all that's going on. Okay. The recording thing, when you are doing recording and listening, to have an extended period of time where you practice listening in that way.
Okay.
And then when you're sitting, you can drop down into the silence.
I love that. Can I ask you a little more about the reflecting?
Anything you like.
When you mentioned for an extended period of time, I can just see like it's going to become a deal or something, you know. So I'm just going to commit every day to spending a particular amount of time just listening and does it, I mean, if I commit 10 minutes a day to just sitting, is that...
Which one of these three practices are we talking about now?
The sitting and the I'm just talking about reflecting what I hear on the recorder.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you go home in the evening and you have a cup of tea and sit in your overstuffed armchair, your Barco lounger, and with your recorder?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know, you had a friend over for the evening to have a cup of tea with you, and you just have that reflecting conversation.
Okay. All right. I like the cup of tea.
You know, everything will be a deal if we let it.
Yeah.
There's no practice that we can ever come up with that won't be a deal as long as we're letting practices be a deal.
Okay. Yeah.
If we just do what we do because we want to see what happens, because we're curious, because it's really interesting, because it's fun, like that.
Yeah.
Then it won't be a deal.
Yeah.
It'll just be something that we like to do.
Right. Right. I was just seeing how much it likes to go at me about my practice. And
well, you know the answer to that.
Right.
Yeah, it goes after you about your practice. You just say, you're right. Okay, where's the cushion?
Right.
Oh, I don't need a cushion. That's okay. I can meditate right here.
Okay. Yeah,
now it's on you about your recording. You're right. Where's that recorder? I need to... Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for that. Whew, boy, good reminder. It'll get another deal.
Okay. Yeah, it's allowing the deals. That's... Yeah. just not helpful at all.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not, because it again, it's that, you know, we're going somewhere, we're accomplishing something.
Yeah.
We're not.
Yeah.
No, we're actually not.
Yeah.
And so to be free where we are,
yeah,
and why not have fun with it?
Really?
I mean, that's just so important to get. That doesn't want you to be successful. Mm-hmm. It doesn't want you to be aware. It's not after you on your practice, because it wants you to be a good practitioner.
To get better, right?
Not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so important to get that. That voice in the email class. Well, it's because EKC, though in the old days people used to say that to me, because EKC believes that, no, it doesn't. It doesn't believe anything. Well, EKC thinks that, no, it doesn't think anything. No, no, no.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't care.
Really?
Me.
And the last thing gets the comment on this. My practice, that's ridiculous.
It's what?
Last thing gets a comment in is my practice. That's ridiculous to even, you know, pay it an ounce of attention. That's just crazy.
It is crazy.
It's crazy.
Let's don't do that.
Yeah.
We're crazy enough without
we don't that. Have any need to have more craziness.
Yeah. We really don't need any more.
No. Anyway, I appreciate the opportunity tonight that you came down to.
I live close, you know.
I know, but
it wasn't hard. And it's like summer. That is scary, but it's like summer.
Yeah.
Who could resist walking on such a beautiful day?
It is incredible.
It is warm.
Just as you were having that conversation, and those simple reminders. So when you were talking about, you know, coming back to the heart, to the belly, and just having that experience, doing it as you're saying it, and realizing that that is the most revolutionary thing we can do. That, you know, walking around, this is my experience at least, walking around in day-to-day life and realizing that what goes on inside the head is absurd. And yet, it's an incredibly worthy opponent.
Mm.
And as far as I can tell, creates everything in the world that we wish wasn't there.
Yes. Yeah. And multiply what's going on in your head by 7 billion plus.
Exactly.
And you can see what we're up against.
Mm. And the temptation to do something about all of that. Right? Which is just going to be all 7 billion of us coming with our conditioned idea of what we're going to do about conditioning. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so to just watch in my little, you know, my tiny little experience of how challenging it is to do that simple thing that you're saying is just don't have that conversation.
Yes. Don't put your attention there.
And live here. In the moment, in the body. And I've just been so re-inspired for really two reasons. One, just again, in my own experience, seeing how challenging that is. And two, just realizing it's so important. Just, I mean, important isn't, that's funny, right as I said that, it's like, that's not the right word, but it's so worth giving a life for.
It's important if you want to be free.
Yes.
Yes. It's just about the most important thing there is, yep, if you want to be free.
Yeah. And I think, you know what it was that tripped me up, is that I realized that important can have an implication of, no, I'm going to make a difference. It's important that I, right? You can so easily slide over into that.
Into a deal. Yes.
Exactly.
Ego is a deal-making machine.
And the thing is that's so amazing is that, we must each work out our own salvation diligently, and it's the only thing we can do.
Yes.
And it truly, if everyone did that,
what a grand and glorious world it would be. But see, what's popular is that I'm going to work out your salvation, right? Because I can see so clearly what's wrong with you.
Right.
And it's way easier than, because I can't do much about this.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I just, wow, in the last like 48 hours, I've had so many moments of just giant compassion, just so much compassion, because it's that thing that, I think you said it was on the cupboard when you're, do not despair that you can't make yourself how you want to be.
That you cannot make others as you would wish them to be, since you cannot make yourself as you would wish to be.
Yeah. So that place of, I don't know if it's because I have a 9 wing on the Enneagram, but I swear, I can look at just about anything in the world and I can see, oh, I can totally see that in here, in this person. Mm-hmm. And so it's just that place of, how can you help?
Oh, I know how. I was just doing that a little while ago.
Really? I'm like, but not that. No, yeah, that. Uh-huh. That.
I would if I had the chance.
I mean, and
I thought I could get away with it.
If I thought I could get away with it, and then huge gratitude that I'm not in the position to have that much money or that much ammunition or that much power or that much.
Or that I just don't want to do that.
Exactly.
That's just my karmic deal.
Yeah. So anyway, and then watch how all the ways that, quote, I'm doing that, and how the razor attention it requires to make that choice moment by moment by moment. It's so compassion creating. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And again, if we see that it's possible, if we realize we want to, and if we realize that we're doing it because we want to, that it's not actually for anything else, for any other reason,
right.
It's not a contest. Mm-hmm. God's not going to be pleased or displeased either way. We have this opportunity to end suffering. And then moment by moment to realize that what the source of the suffering is that incessant conversation. And to realize that we have the ability to turn our attention away from it.
Yes.
We can choose to do that, and we can do that.
Yeah.
We have to want to.
We have to want to.
Yeah. We have to want to more than we want to indulge.
Yes, and I don't know what you would say about it, but it feels like there's this place where, I experienced it today, where the awareness is of all of it. There's suffering happening, and it's like this experience of, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, in the sense of, can see the identification, can see the suffering happening, knowing it's not real, knowing it's happening in a conversation, not necessarily being able to see the conversation clearly, doing all the things one knows to do, record, listen, etc., and then just watch it shift. And then I guess it was something about, what did you just say about, oh, we have to want it more than that. So it feels like there can be sort of this, the larger wanting at a certain point in my experience stays, is always in the freedom. And then there can be these periods of time where there's still that identification, but it's always within that larger.
Well, and sometimes that's the place where we might explore the losing interest in it. Because at a certain level, if we get to that place of, yes, that goes on. Yes, that's the case. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's not what I'm choosing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can either be there attempting to fix an identification, to figure it out, to avoid it, to get rid of it, or I can just lose interest in it.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's it. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, everybody.